Thank you, Arda. Our next reader is a distinguished gentleman and perhaps Hungarian, though I've known him for a long time and I don't know for sure. John Beer's poems and essays have appeared in periodicals including Barrow Street, Chicago Review, Chicago Tribune, Colorado Review, Context, Court Green, Make, Verse, and others. He is a PhD candidate in philosophy and social thought at the University of Chicago. Please welcome John Beer.
So many people in this room that I love very deeply that I think my heart is about to burst. But two things before I begin. Number one, I believe this is the first time that Joel Craig and Greg Purcell and I have read together, which is very important to me. And two, you should all go see Ish Klein's movies tomorrow night at the Stop Smiling storefront. I'll read three poems. Number one. Too legit to quit. This is for Dan McCann. It's getting kind of late. I stand next to my love. All right. I'm standing next to a skeleton. It appears to be a raccoon skeleton, given the sharp teeth, given the sign underneath that says raccoon. I wouldn't say necessarily that my life has been the happiest. Sure, I've had my share of barroom brawls. I've driven the big rigs across ice fields. I was the winningest contestant ever on Beat the Braggart. What I'll remember most, though, when I'm gone, which could be any time, is how the night sky looks if you get out far enough. Like a sea of diamonds that belongs to everyone. I'm a sentimental fool. I still believe in love. I still believe in a life in which everybody matters. I know that every poem's an epitaph. The sky's around for now. That's me that's walking into it. Okay, the second poem is called Globe. It's for Amber Sutherland, and it seemed appropriate because I wrote this poem for her 4 years ago on Valentine's Day, and last year at the New York AWP is when we split up. And for those of you that know Amber, for those of you that know Amber, I think that you'll appreciate this. I was talking to her a couple of weeks ago, and I said, I think I'm going to read this poem at this event, and, is that weird or anything? And she said, well, I think you should read that poem at every occasion. Globe. There are many things in this world, and one of them is you. Others include icicles, cupcakes, doorknobs, skulls, and little dogs with bad attitudes. Giraffes lick walls and dolphins lick giraffes. The natural world is simply what it is. We go along resenting jerks who tell us what to do or signal lane changes at the last possible minute. I suspect there's something wrong with your chin. Policemen drift in, ticket me for no seatbelt, and then their day is done. You've been a ghost, a nymphette. You've advised supermodels. You fend off table audits. All these things are you, or colored by you. Recently, I ordered too much coffee while you sleep. Icicles are the perfect murder weapon. Cupcakes are what's needed on your birthday, exactly three of them. Metaphor is what a life becomes while waiting for direction. The target makes the vehicle expand. Where you leave your lettered purse, a rabbit and cat follow. Call it Australia or Vermont, a tower by a lake, a pony revolution, a story filled with aging hipster dreams. All these things are yours, or something like them. I got this globe for you. And then finally, this is Mary, Color Scientist. There are three epigraphs. Diese Flucht folgt Eros nicht verfolge, sondern als Liebende der Gestalt, dass die Schönheit um ihres Scheines willen immer bei der Flieht, den Verständigen aus Furcht und aus Angst den Liebenden. Ob Wahrheit dem Schönen gerecht zu werden vermag? Walter Benjamin. Our eye beams twisted, and did thread our eyes upon one double string. John Donne. Blood in my eyes for you, traditional. No one comes here anymore. I have a token. No. I have an idea. No. I was washed up on a lab table in the traditional manner. Everybody wants to say the joyful joyfully, and I finally saw it when I was destroyed. Talk all you like, you're already dead. Mary, would you like to come outside? Mary worked so long and hard in the palace of black and white. Mary knows things I don't know. She knows every tear I've cried. She gave her life to seeing sight. Mary? Mary? When will you come outside? Well, we have these instruments. Beauty is a tooth. Correction. The telephone rang. I was looking at Brown. There's a history I'm not getting into. Beauty is still a tooth. Correction. Nobody wanted to go to the post office. Individually, a vision individuate, you Manx. Yeah, it's that paper that lights up when you look at it. But why did the ground start moving? Catch up. She knew it was happening before it started to happen. Catch up. What did you do, pay for those eyes? Opaque. The rose is not red until your eyes fall upon it. Translucent. The rose is not red until your eyes. Transparent. The rose is not red. Etc. Look. The story concerns Mary and Mary alone. Mary alone in her colorless tower. Snow will fall, day turn to night, and not even postmen evade her sight. Lidless, fulfilling the ancient dream, she sees the tanks roll into Gaza and dieters. She sees with all encompassing eyes the shredding of orders, kids sneaking into the story of O, the football scrimmage and Manhattan ending. She sees the end of Paris and Fort Worth. She watches subways melt sleeplessly. She knew how it would all work out. She trains her dials on the death of kings sitting sadly by the waterfront shacks. She sees beyond the genius of Edwards, Teller, Hopper, and Lear. You and I are the trouble she's seen. Mary, wouldn't you like to come outside? Mary? Mary? When will you come outside? The sky was black. The sky was blue. I was sitting someplace. I saw it. The community got together, as communities will, and waited together for death. Some of us were colorblind, so when they lifted the red flag to signal the drink, we had to be prodded by neighbors. In a couple of cases, there were clusters of the colorblind, after all, a genetic trait. These familial bands required repeated prodding by strangers on the outskirts. It produced a wave-like pattern, all this prodding, so that to an outside observer, one tuning in from remote satellite, for example, it was reminiscent of a Busby Berkeley scene, or one of those marching band routines in which the scrambling about of the sousaphone players suddenly blossoms into a starfish or some kind of risque joke. But within 15 minutes or so, the prodding subsided, and after that the drinking, the twitching, and we all lay dead in the field. After she emerged, she saw red, and it was red. She emerged and saw yellow. She saw blue. After she emerged, she saw what green was like. She saw purple and orange and gray. Thank you.
Afterwards, we can all stand around and watch John Beer walk with his cane, because I think this is my new favorite thing. Only a man with a cane could come and do Benjamin in that accent. My God, it's beautiful. This is the last reader of the evening, or readers, rather. We published Kathleen Rooney's work in ACM. It was creative nonfiction, but she's going to read poetry that she co-wrote, and I'll introduce her, and then she can introduce her associate. Then they'll read, and then we'll all drink and dance. So anyway, Kathleen Rooney is the founding editor of Rose Metal Press and the author of Reading with Oprah, the book club that changed America, and also Live Nude Girl, My Life is an Object, for which she's doing a reading tour right now. She also published a poetry collection, Honor Romance and Epithalamium, and those are words I can't say. Without further ado, Kathleen Rooney.